Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Barry Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
In John chapter 18, Jesus says, "Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice." And then Pilate replies to him, asking the age-old question, "What is truth?" Well, on Friday, Sam Rohr and I'm Isaac Crockett, we were part of a small group of pastors and faith leaders in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, where we discussed this question of truth with Attorney General Jeff Sessions. And it was interesting to find out that as he goes to the different offices from state to state, he asks to meet with the top law enforcement officials, but then he also asks to meet with local pastors and faith leaders to know what is going on across the nation. Now, for me, this was my first time to meet with him, and I found that the way that Attorney General Sessions handled himself, the way he interacted with staff, the way he knew the issues, I found it all to be very impressive. But beyond being the intelligent gentleman that he is, I was moved by the words he spoke and the passion he had about his own Christian convictions. I know that Sam has already mentioned some of this on Friday's program, but Attorney General Sessions spoke of our need to believe and to seek after absolute truth, which from our conversation with him, I could tell, at least I believe he holds to this because of his biblical worldview. And he spoke of the importance of truth, especially when it comes to our legal system. In our country, we have a system of law enforcement and court systems, and the goal of the court is to find the truth and to declare who is right and who is wrong. And even during his confirmation hearing, Attorney General Jeff Sessions did not waver on his belief in absolute truth and on his Christian faith. Gary, you've had contact and interaction with Jeff Sessions for many years. Does it surprise you that as he travels around the country meeting with his law enforcement officials, that he also wants to meet with local pastors? And another question along with that is, does it surprise you that even after he faced criticism from many on the left during his confirmation hearing for speaking boldly as a Christian, that he continues to speak out just as boldly?
Well, Isaac, yes, I am very, very much impressed with Jeff Sessions, have always been since I had the opportunity of meeting the first time with him several years ago. It was actually in a hearing in the U.S. Senate, and have had several contacts with him since. And I see General Sessions as being a born-again believer, true man of God, and one who wants to, as you said, operate according to biblical truth. And I believe he does completely have a biblical worldview, which is, I believe, one of the reasons why he is motivated to go around and speaking with local pastors about the issues that we face here in the United States of America. As far as I know, in following him, he is a man who does believe in absolute truth. And Isaac, I'll be absolutely honest with you, it's quite an encouragement to me that we have a man like that to be the Attorney General. When he came out to be the first senator to speak in favor of Donald Trump, I thought, what's he doing that for? Because in those days, I was not necessarily on the bandwagon with Donald Trump. But I think that he was one who was able to see things that maybe some of us did not see at that particular point in time, which sort of indicates to me that he's got great insight into issues. I'm glad he is where he is. He certainly is the friend of the church and the friend of pastors all across this nation.
Well, Gary, what a great way to start this program, Stand in the Gap Today, and looking at how we have people, even the top law enforcement official of our nation, standing in the gap for truth, for the Bible, for the Lord. And so welcome to our program today. I'm Isaac Crockett, Pastor Isaac Crockett, and Pastor Gary Dahl, of course, is joining me. And in a little bit, we'll be welcoming in another pastor, Pastor Joel Jakubowski, and talking some more about some things that we talked about in our session with Attorney General Sessions. And, you know, one of the biggest things that he was talking about with law enforcement when he came to our state is a topic that has been in the newspapers, on the radio and TV, all over our areas. And that is what is often called the opioid epidemic. It's something that we're facing here in Pennsylvania and many other states. And General Sessions said that all the law enforcement that he talks to, they have different ideas about what's going on, but he talks to them about another drug that many times is referred to as a gateway drug, and that is the drug marijuana. And this, of course, has become kind of politically incorrect to talk against it. There's been a push to allow it to be used legally. And he said that the law enforcement believe that it is likely to draw people into harder drugs. And so, Gary, I know that you have counseled a lot of people in these different things. Do you think that there's a connection between the push in many states to legalize marijuana for recreational use and the increase that now we're seeing with the overdoses in our communities from other harder drugs like heroin?
Personally, I would believe absolutely yes, Isaac. I know that not everybody holds to that particular opinion, but I believe it. And I was talking to our own district attorney not too long ago about this issue here in Blair County. And he clearly believes that marijuana is a gateway drug into opioids. And I support that 100%. I think that the track record shows that, Isaac.
Hmm. Another quick question for you. It's interesting, so many people are on board about the drug abuse that's going on, but do you think there's a connection? We know that there's heroin, for example, is easy to get a hold of because it's cheap and there's a lot of it. Do you think there's any connection with that and maybe some of the push from General Sessions and others to try to crack down on border security? Do you think that maybe that the lack of border security is opening up a bigger supply of these cheap drugs?
Boy, you're asking some great questions today. You must have gotten up early this morning. But they're good questions. Yeah, I would put it this way, Isaac, that the weaker we are on border security, the more we will have to face the drug problem. And I think this is one of the reasons why, you know, we need to have stronger border security, whether it's a wall, and of course I'm in favor of the wall, or whatever the case may be. We realize that there are many people who oppose stronger border security. And I know this is a wild thought, but I'm wondering if one of those reasons could not be because of the fact that some of the people who oppose it are very pro-drug culture. They don't want to see it stop. They want to see it increase. And that may be one of the reasons why many people are dragging their feet on border security. I mean, I just throw that out for the sake of discussion. And I may be wrong, but I also might be right on that, at least to a certain degree, Isaac.
Wow. So a lot to think about, and I know there's a lot of ways we could go with that. But in just a little bit, we'll be welcoming our special guest with us, Pastor Joel Jakubowski from Pennsylvania Adult and Teen Challenge. And this is a group that was started by Pastor David Wilkerson. The name David Wilkerson might sound familiar to some of you. He was the author of the book The Cross and the Switchblade, and it was a bestseller that became a movie. And as we talk about this, we will be looking into the rest of the story of how Adult in Teen Challenge was started and how it continues here in Pennsylvania.
Hi, everybody. This is Jimmy DeYoung in Jerusalem, Israel. You often hear me on Stand in the Gap Today with Sam, Dave, and Gary. Guess what? We're all coming to Israel. Love to have you come and go with us. The dates are March the 7th through the 21st. That will include 10 days in Israel, 4 days in Petra, one of the most unique cities in all the world. If you need more information, the itinerary, the exact dates, also the information about cost, call this number, 423-825-6247. That's 423-825-6247. Ask for Jody. She can give you all the information as Stand in the Gap Today and Prophecy Today go host a tour to Israel. Next year in Jerusalem, we're looking forward to you being here with us.
Back in 1993, MediShare was known as the best-kept secret in healthcare. But not anymore. Today, there are hundreds of thousands of Americans who've discovered what us long-timers have known since the beginning. MediShare is affordable healthcare that really works. The great thing is, we're not an insurance company. We're a nonprofit community. Hundreds of thousands of honest, hardworking people who agree to share each other's medical bills. Every share goes to help a fellow member. And when we say affordable, we mean it's common for our members to save upwards of $500 a month. Best of all, MediShare is always open. You can join anytime. So how about now? Isn't it time you joined MediShare?
Call 844-45-BIBLE to find out how much you can save on your healthcare. MediShare, now available in Montana. Call 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Welcome back. And in this segment, we want to talk about a pastor with a passion to help. And welcome in Pastor Joel Jakubowski from Pennsylvania Dalton Teen Challenge. Pastor Joel, thank you so much. I know you have a lot on your schedule this whole couple of weeks here. A lot of things, special things are going on. And we want to thank you for changing your schedule around even today to be with us here on Standing in the Gap Today.
My pleasure, Isaac. Great to be with you. Always good to talk about this issue.
As I've thought through some of the things that I heard from Attorney General Sessions and some of the things that I've talked about with you, Pastor Joel and Pastor Gary, I really think that the program there, Adult and Teen Challenge, exemplifies what can happen when churches and Christian ministries get involved helping their communities. As Christians, our goal is seeing people saved and seeing their lives transformed. I like the word that you used, Joel, giving freedom. And I think it was obvious in our meeting on Friday with Attorney General Jeff Sessions that he realizes the vital role churches and Christian ministries play in our communities, even in this area of drug addiction. You know, so Joel, could you fill us in and tell us the rest of the story maybe a little bit with David Wilkerson? I think a lot of people, and maybe some of us need a quick reminder of that even, but know that he was a pastor. Pastor David Wilkerson was out in rural Pennsylvania. He ended up, through the power of prayer and the Holy Spirit's leading in him, going into New York City and starting a program with young people to help them get out of gangs and drugs. And that has now become Adult and Teen Challenge. And a lot of people knew about this in the 60s and 70s, shortly after he wrote his book, and in 1970 when the movie was made about it. But could you give us some more of the history to catch us up to speed on this this ministry that has been started?
Sure, certainly. As you said, small-town preacher David Wilkerson, Phillipsburg, PA, no familiarity really to speak of with the inner cities, but found himself reading a Life magazine article. This is 1958. And saw in this article, in the centerfold of this magazine, that there were some gang members, young men, teenagers, on trial for the brutal murder of what they believed was another gang member. And he felt compelled. He said, I just need to go speak to these individuals, explain to them they can change their life. They don't have to live that way. So as a very evangelical minister, he went to his wife, Gwen, and said, Gwen, I'm heading to New York City, and I'm going to meet with these gang members. And so he did. So he went to New York City, and in his attempt to get to those gang members, he went in through the court trial and was unable to get to them. But at some point, he was raising a Bible in the air and saying, listen, folks, this is what these folks need, these young men. And there was a photograph taken by the Daily News. Well, the Daily News put this on their front cover, and the gang members, although he could not get to the ones on trial, the ones down in the underbelly of New York City, had learned of this. They thought, man, if this guy's not for them, he must be for us. And so it bought him some inroads with those gangs, and he began to get to know the gangs. As I said, he kind of went into the underbelly of the gang culture, and in that process, he discovered a few things. One, he got to meet the most notorious gang member of the time named Nicky Cruz, and Nicky Cruz led a band of outlaws called the Mau Maus, probably the most feared gang, and Nicky Cruz being the most feared gang member. And was assaulted to some degree by these gangs and by Nicky Cruz, and told to leave him alone, you know, don't keep coming around, preacher. And so in this pursuit of getting to know these gangs, he got to know Nicky Cruz and realized that Nicky was really the target. But he also discovered an interesting thing, too, is that what was driving these men in what was their criminal activity was not just, an unadulterated level of rebellion. What he discovered is what was driving is they were addicted. And he soon discovered that the real issue at hand that was no one's really realizing about their criminality is that they were heroin addicts for the most part, many of them using intravenous heroin. And he got much exposure and much education along those lines about what does that mean to be a heroin addict. And so what he realized is I got to get these guys in a group. So he held a rally in a former boxing arena in Brooklyn and invited hundreds of gang members. And they had decided what they were going to do is they were going to spite him, and they were going to have a rumble right underneath his nose. Nicky Cruz, one of the invitees. And they got there, and through songs, skits, and testimonies, which Teen Challenge does to this day, Nicky Cruz felt a pulling on his heart, found himself broken in that moment, went down the center aisle, went right up to the pastor, Wilkerson, and said, how do I change my life? And gave him his bat and his knife and a pool of tears. And most of those gang members went right up that aisle with him, also broken in the spirit. And a couple went out the back door, of course, because that's human nature. And those guys and David Wilkerson began really to be the inception of Teen Challenge. And out of Brooklyn, New York, they began to leave that home and go into the streets. And they soon discovered another interesting thing, that the people that were really knocking on the door coming to find them were adults. It was generally about a 37-year age average. And David Wilkerson realized that not only was he getting a bunch of people needing help, he was finding it was more than teens. And so in 1962, he and his brother Don went to the Rarersburg, Pennsylvania area, the Berks County area, and started looking for some land. And a wonderful Mennonite farmer who loved the cause of Teen Challenge and had learned about what they were doing offered them 350 acres for next to nothing. And that's now the organization I work for. That's Rarersburg, Pennsylvania Adult and Teen Challenge. And that center started with eight men. Brooklyn, New York was just a house full of men. That training center now holds close to 250, almost 300 individuals at that the acreage here in Rarersburg. And Teen Challenge now has 300 centers in this country approximately, and approximately 1,000 centers overseas. It is the largest and most successful treatment center known to the planet Earth. And it all came from one small town pastor's vision that we need to make some change. And this is, you know, this is really what we're using now to combat this and may have been very preparatory for this epidemic.
Sure. And, you know, we praise the Lord for the effect and the power of the Word of God, do we not? And the Word of God works effectually in the lives of those who believe it. And I believe that that's why Teen Challenge has been such a successful ministry down through the years, having the highest record of overcoming drugs. God has used it because they use His Word. And Pastor Joe, you're a pastor and you're actively involved there at the Adult and Teen Challenge Ministry. How did you personally get involved with it, and how has it changed your life?
I came to Teen Challenge as a result of falling into addiction. Grew up in Reading, Pennsylvania. Grew up in a bit of a turbulent family. Found that along the way when I smoked marijuana, which is how it all began for me, I found that it helped to emotionally regulate me when otherwise I was feeling very alone in the world, very disillusioned by the world, and harboring probably a lot of hurts. And so, like anything else, marijuana introduced me to the culture, which is really what makes marijuana a gateway drug. It's not necessarily that marijuana becomes a biological change that makes me say, now I'm going to go do other drugs. Generally, what way it becomes a gateway drug is that it exposes me to the culture of where the other drugs are. And so that's what happened for me. Eventually became cocaine, then became crack cocaine. And so I began to immerse myself in other programs outside of Teen Challenge, the secular programs, short-term programs, outpatient programs, and to no avail, was not experiencing much success beyond a few months here and there of sobriety. My family intervened and said, Joel, we really need to get to a place to where we got to get you into a longer level of care. We can no longer embrace your death style. You need to choose a lifestyle in order to be a healthy member of our family and life and society. And they said, why don't you go to Teen Challenge? Now understand, they're talking to a devout, argumentative atheist about going to the faith-based discipleship program of Teen Challenge. And so I did some research, and because I was very logical-minded like anyone else, and the research indicated they averaged a 78% success rate. All the other programs I'd gone to that were not Teen Challenge averaged about a 6 to 9% success rate. And so I thought, well, I'm going to go. And so I showed up there as an atheist. And I figured, well, when they talk about Jesus, I'll just kind of nod and agree and shake it off. But I soon started realizing that the quote-unquote therapeutic model of Teen Challenge was absolutely a relationship with not just a higher power, a God of your choosing. It was a relationship with the God of the Bible. And I started to apply the principles to my life, all the fruit of the Spirit and the other things that Paul espouses. And I would sort of try to live by these things. And it was very effective just living by the values. Then I soon realized that the values really only had value if they had a target. And the target was a relationship with God, something I had never had before, something that was permanent, that would never leave me or forsake me, something that actually acted as the source and informed my decision-making and really explained why I was alive, why I was on the planet Earth as a human being. This human being on a spiritual journey, trying to become a spiritual being on a human journey. And next thing you know, I was in love with Jesus, and I found myself enthralled with the principles and the teaching and the wisdom. Couldn't get out of Psalms, the heart of God, Proverbs, the mind of God, and was inspired. I was 37 at the time, left Teen Challenge as a graduate at 38, and knew I was going to go back to college, get an education, and come back to Teen Challenge and give away everything that was given to me because I wanted to serve the Lord. And along those lines, also became a certified minister. And so this program turned my entire life around. It changed my entire worldview. And as Isaac had mentioned, that I'd mentioned before, I'd finally found something more than sobriety. I had actually found freedom, freedom from the compulsion to use, delivered from it. And that was the life-changing experience for me.
Amen. Amen. It's so neat to see how the Lord gives us freedom from anything that of this earth, of this world, when we can turn to Him and the way that the Word of God does not return void. And so as we look at this, we look at what's going on at Adult and Teen Challenge, and we see God working in them and in the work that goes through it, we want to talk more about that. And when we come back, we'll be hearing more about the difference that there is, as you heard already, with working with folks who are addicted from a biblical viewpoint. And Pastor Joel will walk us through some of the surprising statistics about drug addiction problems that we are facing, and then also the good news for those who are wanting help and for those who are wanting to help others. So stay tuned. We'll be right back after this break.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, welcome back to our program, Stand in the Gap Today. Thank you for joining Pastor Gary Dahl and Pastor Joel Jakubowski, our special guest, and myself, Pastor Isaac Crockett. I want to thank every one of you that listens, and some of you maybe are just now tuning in. Thank you so much for listening to this, and I'd like to remind you that if you would like to hear this program or other programs in their entirety, or to see additional information and resources, or even maybe want to share some of this information, these topics with friends, you can check out our website, standinthegapradio.com, or you can use our mobile phone app on Android or iPhone, but you can also follow us on social media to stay up to date with the latest info. And we're on Facebook and Twitter. We also have some neat resources for you on our YouTube channel as well. And just by following our media, social media accounts, it makes it really easy to share some of this information that you hear with other people that that are on your social media as well. So welcome back. And Gary and I were talking on Friday afternoon about the program for today, and we were both commenting what a timely topic this is. And we were also talking about having seen different sources and knowing of Adult and Teen Challenge, that they approach the drug addiction issue from a spiritual point of view of what is going on, as well as they also cover the emotional and the medical and the family issues. But by taking into account the spiritual as well, they have a way better success rate than most drug rehab or drug treatment facilities, and they keep adding more to it. And so as we come back to this topic, Pastor Joel, you've talked a little bit about some of the success rates. Could you maybe first give us the website for your program so that people could know how to connect with Adult and Teen Challenge? And then maybe you could tell us a little bit about the numbers that you all see compared to the average numbers. For example, maybe you have the success rate that how they know what the success rate is of your long-term program, or even a comparison of maybe an average dropout rate compared to other programs. So I know that's a lot of information, but if you would be able to give some of that to our listeners so that those who are listening right now can know more about it and how to get in connection with your resources.
Sure, absolutely. Our name of our program is Pennsylvania Adult and Teen Challenge. So the acronym there is PAATC. And so our website is PAATC.org. And you can go to that, PAATC.org. And I think our website pretty comprehensively will answer a lot of questions that has to do with our program overview, admissions, things like this. In terms of success rates, absolutely. We do independent studies. Of course, you have to for your own statistics. Over the years, we've done those independently through government white papers, we've done those through peer reviews, and we've done them through university studies. We've had success rates as high as 86% for any given year, and we've gone as low as 70%. So somewhere in there, we have about a 78% success rate. Now, if you understand addiction in terms of the really where success is derived in terms of length of stay, The success for a short-term program, which is pretty much the standard model in our culture, is a 30-day program. And certainly those have a great level of value. For most of us, though, what they end up really being is a stepping stone to get into a greater and more comprehensive level of treatment and recovery process. But they weigh their statistics specifically by the rooms of support that then you re-enter when you go back into society, which is really your groups like AA and NA, which are very valuable groups and have great value to keep people on track. But unfortunately, the success rates of those groups tends to be about 6 to 9%, because it's, you know, some of the value of staying immersed in the process of recovery is really understanding that affects every domain of your life. So all points of your life really have to start to be reevaluated as what is conducive to keeping me on track. And that can be everything, as we talked about, from, and probably even most predominantly, is your worldview. What is it that informs your decision making? What's the author of that? And if you have to have that authorship, what are the attributes, the values? What is the unctioning and the call that should create in an individual's life? And so Teen Challenge is very masterful at using really the master's guidelines, which is really the Bible becomes our instructions for earth. And so when we follow those, we find ourselves doing the things that are not just conducive to recovery. And the recovery really ends up happening by default, because the principles of the Bible are all the original recovery principles for every human being on how to live an upright, healthy, and righteous life, and according to the blessing and value that comes from He who informs our decision-making, which we understand is our Creator. And so we certainly understand that every individual has a purpose and a calling on their life. And so we're asking individuals mm-hmm. come into our program and measure success by receiving that call and finding out, beyond the addiction, which may have inspired the desire for change to begin with, what is it that I'm now being unctioned and prompted into as a result of that spurring on of the addiction? And so we turn it around. We use the addiction as that thing that catapults us as the catalyst into what we were intended to be. So our success rates are very high based on just that formality. And, of course, that we have a longer period of time where you can be in our program to get the feeling that you need.
Yeah, and the fact of the matter is, you know, you use the real source of recovery, which is the Word of God. And Pastor Joe, as we go on, some may find it very surprising, as you shared in your own testimony, that you were a little older, maybe in your mid-30s, before you came for help. And it's interesting, as we were talking before we went on the air, the first time I ever heard of the ministry was back in the 30s when a neighbor of ours, who was a pastor's wife, got involved with drugs due to pain control. She had arthritis. She had back trouble. She got addicted. Right. And, of course, she ended up out there in Rearsburg and overcame it. So my question to you is this common that people get involved with the ministry there later on in life? They're not just teenagers or early 20s. And is it common? And there may be some individuals right now who are looking for help. What would you have to say to them?
Yeah, Gary, great point. It's actually very quite common. Now, we started 18 and up, but the average age of our program is probably somewhere between 25 all the way up to maybe late 30s, somewhere mm-hmm. in the middle, probably around 30, 35. And so we realize that this is, you know, this is not necessarily an age thing. It's a human thing. It's a life thing. But it often seems that for individuals that are coming to us at those ages, generally, when we look at the history of their life, many of them had started much earlier, but the real devastating effect and the real grip of addiction had not really taken over every domain of their life. So many were going through a process of experimentation, and there was probably evidence on the table. We could see great levels of what you might call abuse, but we had not yet quite got to the place of addiction and dependency, addiction being the lifestyle that devastates every domain of a person's life, relationally, emotionally, vocationally, spiritually. And then we see the dependency, which you see greatly in addiction, in heroin addiction, where there's actually a neurobiological change that happens in the brain and in the body through addiction. But with specific drugs, it becomes very physiologically dependent, like heroin, where when a person is not using, there's this great feeling, fever-like. My CEO once described our CEO of our program is a graduate as well, and he described his withdrawal from heroin in those times where he couldn't use his bones exploding on the inside. So there's a dependency where the body grabs hold very strongly. I mean, it's powerful. Take your worst fever and then exacerbate that 10, 20 times. You know, you really feel like you're going to die. I mean, it's and it can go on for days.
And wow, so this really helps us kind of get an insight into what people are going through with this. And for the sake of maybe a listener who might know somebody who's struggling in this area or even struggling himself or herself right now as they listen to you, could you maybe, Joel, just we don't have a lot of time before the next break, but walk us through maybe a quick version of what maybe happens in the process that getting a person help and using a group like Adult and Teen Challenge.
Yeah, I mean, the first thing for families, because generally I would say probably what we get 80% of the time is the families calling and not the person in addiction, because the families actually end up hitting their brokenness before the person in addiction, because they're also experiencing, because remember, addiction is always a family issue. It's never an individual issue. It always has to be understood as a family issue. So families are getting their brokenness quicker because they don't get the reprieve of the actual high. So the person in addiction is having a devastated life and every day in their life, but once in a while, they get to go away in their brain in the actual high of the drug. The families don't get that. The families have to deal with it 24/7 without the reprieve. So when they're calling, they're saying, what do we do? This person doesn't want help, or we don't know what to do. We walk them through the process of understanding ideas that are outside of hitting rock bottom, because some people don't have a rock bottom. For as many, rock bottom is death. We walk them through a process called raising the bottom, which talks about how we start to remove the things from an individual's life that actually makes it easier for them to stay in their addiction. And we start to teach them things like detaching with love and how to hold boundaries and how to allow discomfort to motivate change. And so we walk them through some of that. And then we walk them through the admissions process, which is really about getting that individual to muster the courage to make a phone call to our admissions office and say, listen, yeah, I'm entertaining the idea of coming in to your program to change your life. And then we want to inspire that individual to understand, as we said earlier, that there's actual freedom from addiction. There absolutely is. And there's something greater than even sobriety. And if a person is willing to immerse themselves in that process, there's a great level of hope. Remember, pain is generally what motivates the decision to enter a program, but it's hope that keeps people in the throes of change, believing that this change that you're offering me is attainable. You're saying, if I go after this thing and I do what you're asking me to do, I can have it. And I'm here to tell you, you can have it as a person who's experienced.
Wow, very powerful. And as always, we want to finish our program in this coming segment with biblical solutions to the problems that we have seen. And we want to give you resources to help those who might be hurting and maybe can help you prevent a bad situation or help somebody who's already in a bad place. So please stay tuned and listen closely and check up on these resources that Pastor Joel has given you. We'll have him give his website one more time when we come back and talk more about the solutions to the problem and how to prevent this from being a problem in your family or in your life. Right back.
Hey, I'm Brant. Just read this news item about the two things that are stressing Americans out the most. Thought this was interesting. They say we're losing a record amount of sleep because of these two things. Number one, healthcare expenses. And the second thing, saving for retirement. The two biggest stressors. But what's remarkable? You can make a phone call right now and actually take action on both of these at once. Just call MediShare. MediShare members share each other's medical expenses, and it works beautifully. They've shared over $1 billion in healthcare expenses since 1993. Most members save about $500 a month compared to other healthcare plans. Imagine having a great healthcare plan and adding $500 for your retirement every month. One call, two less things to stress about, and that can help you sleep better at night. Here's the number. Call 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE. Now available in Montana. Call 844-45-BIBLE.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit BJUPress.com. That's BJUPress.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, welcome back. Time sure flies when you're talking about an interesting topic, and I can't believe we're already at our last segment. I'm Pastor Isaac Crockett. Pastor Gary Dahl is with me as we are talking to Pastor Joel Jakubowski from Adult and Teen Challenge about the problems of drug abuse and how a biblical worldview makes such a difference when dealing with that. So as we've looked at this issue, we see that law enforcement officials tell us that it's growing at alarming rates, and we know that it affects more than just the user. It affects the spouse or the children or parents, neighbors, coworkers, and many others who get caught up in the life of this person who's abusing drugs. And so it's important that we look at this issue from a biblical perspective. And at the beginning of the show, I started out by talking about the meeting that we had with Attorney General Jeff Sessions. And one of the topics that we talked about with Attorney General Jeff Sessions was what we can do as faith leaders, as churches, how we can work with law enforcement to prevent drug use, which is one of the reasons why Attorney General Sessions wanted this meeting with us. And so I'll ask you, Pastor Joel, what advice would you give to a Christian parent or a Christian family member that what can they use to help prevent their young people in their family or people in their sphere of influence from even starting with drugs, from even using them from the very beginning?
Yeah, I think you'll find across the board that the number one answer that really serves to be one of the most preventative factors when you look at keeping people from addiction is education. The more the parent is educated on everything from what are the signs and symptoms, what is the reasoning and rationale why a person goes after these things, how is an individual exposed to these things, and then, of course, what are the ways, if that has occurred, how do we begin to talk that person off the ledge, if you will, of the real demise that comes through addiction. Education is the key, and I'm seeing more now than ever in our community, and this program really serves as education, if you really boil it down, which is wonderful. And because we're talking about the issue. And see, the problem with addiction is that the impression with addiction is that people that are in addiction are bad people. There certainly is a choice that's made by the person in addiction to go into the addiction, but we need to understand that once the addiction has come into the individual's life, there's absolutely biological change that occurs in that person's life and creates a real medical issue in that person's life, where there's been brain change. And so until we stop looking at addiction as being purely the decisions of bad people, we're going to have a very hard time addressing the medical needs and the educational needs and the support and treatment needs that surround it, because we have a view of it that's maybe not well educated. There's a very easy incorporation, especially as people of faith, to clearly understand the incorporation of every domain of a person's life on how addiction affects it, which includes certainly the way we're affected neurobiologically without ever giving up Jesus in that conversation. There are groups like I travel the country and I do educational programs that educate people of faith and pastors on how to understand addiction from every domain, spiritually, physically, relationally. And every place I've gone, pastors will come up to me and say, I've never heard it like that. This is the first time I've heard that embrace to addiction and that encompassed view of it. And we're able to educate folks. The education is the key. Families need to be educated. And we have to, the key here, though, again, I can't stress it enough, is that the invitation and the embrace of the education, the forerunner is getting past the view of it as a stigmat view of it as being something we want to keep hidden and silent. We don't do that with other medical conditions. We have to be very careful we don't do that with this.
That's a very good word to put in there, Joe. I appreciate that. And, you know, I think that pastors need to be educated on how to deal with it. And maybe you can address that a little bit. But also, whether you are talking about the Christian school or the public school, you find that there are a lot of teenagers getting involved, many of them just as they're getting out of high school. So Absolutely. My question to you is really twofold. Number one, what must pastors do to get educated along this line? And secondly, what can be done in the schools to prevent and curb this drug usage that is becoming an epidemic in and of itself?
Yeah, absolutely. Pastors, the goal for a pastor is to find, get themselves into the educational forums that are conducive to this. So there are lots of groups. Like I said, I travel around and do it. There's another group called the Goal Project that operates in this area of Berks County, in this area of Pennsylvania, around my area, Lancaster, Pennsylvania. There's another one called the RAISE Project. They're out of Harrisburg. These are all advocacy groups, and what they do is they provide education. Now, there are some of those groups like Goal and myself, and I actually am a speaker for Goal Project occasionally as well. But what we do is we really try to focus on the faith community because we know there's a lot of misconceptions about the choice between absolute spirituality or absolute medical. And I'm here to tell you, there is a very easy and understandable bridge between the two that folks that have experienced education and are educated in it can help folks with. So pastors just have to go seek that information, get online. There are college universities that teach just addictions 101. There's classes. We got to get educated because there are statistics that say 55% of our congregation are experiencing addiction. 55%. Wow. If I was to take you to Teen Challenge and I would ask the 200 men at Teen Challenge to raise their hands, if they grew up in a Christian family and went to church, about 35% would raise their hands. And so we have a real issue. It's a human condition issue. The Bible says all we like sheep have gone astray. All have turned to their own way. And so we have to get the guidance to come back and see the value of it. And it happens through education. You mentioned school, a great point. Why we're not educating our children K through 12 on addiction, it's unfathomable. So I did some research and I've asked some officials, you know, why are we not doing that? Because I'm linked up with many of the local officials of this area in addictions, but then also on a much higher level. And generally what they've told me is because it can't be federally conditioned into the schools, that most schools retain the right to incorporate those classes or not. And I learned along the line that many of these schools were offered programming, especially through this area of Pennsylvania, and many declined, just not being able to contain it, not being able to have the manpower and the resources. And in some cases, I hate to say it, because addiction is such a stigma, nobody wants to say, oh, we have that problem at school. It's everywhere. And so we need to start. But there are some individuals in some schools that have taken up the mantle, and they've said, we're going to have advocates, and we're going to have people working in schools. There are some colleges, like Alpena. Karen Foundation has actually started a sober house, a recovery house, and recovery treatment right there on campus. These are the kind of things that have to come into our culture because we have to understand that this thing is, it's everywhere. It's just everywhere.
Thank you so much for this cutting-edge information. As we get ready to close, I want us to go back. At the beginning, we talked about David Wilkerson, and he got this started through prayer. We have just a few moments left. Let's ask Pastor Gary, would you prepare to close our program in prayer as we've learned so much, and this is such great information. And if you would close us in prayer as we just have a few moments left of time here, Brother Gary.
I'll be happy to do so, and before I do, again, Pastor Joel, thank you very, very much for being with us. And very quickly, give us that website again that people can get in touch with you.
Yep, it's Pennsylvania Adult and Teen Challenge, PAATC.org, and you'll see on there that we have everything from detox to short-term program to long-term program, one-stop shopping, get it all done, and change your life, PAATC.org.
And folks, I would encourage you to become educated about this particular ministry, because it's the most effective ministry in helping people to overcome addiction, Adult and Teen Challenge. Father in heaven, as we come to you today, we do thank you once again for the great God that you are. And we thank you for the opportunity that we've had to have Pastor Joel with us today. I pray that you would bless him and strengthen him in his ministry as he works with Adult and Teen Challenge. And that maybe that you'll even use this program to help some families and churches deal with those within their congregations and families who are addicted. And we'll give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Gary Dahl, for hosting with me. And a special thanks to our special guest, Pastor Joel Jakubowski from Pennsylvania Adult and Teen Challenge, for being with us. What great information and help today. And you'll want to tune in throughout this coming week as we have a lot more things to talk about. Thanks so much. God bless.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap today.